Blog Talk Radio. Blog
Tari, how are you?
All the, well, I'm. How are you, Dr. Middleton? And thank you for being a guest on the show tonight. Well, we're recording it now, but it's going to air on Thursday night at 7 p.m. So welcome to the show, and I know that you are an amazing speaker tonight, and I appreciate you being here. You're a doctor, you're a chiropractor, you have a family, and you like helping people. And I know you're doing some cutting-edge research and using some cutting-edge technology. I hope it's okay if I say it like that. But to get to where you are right now, how did you know that you were supposed to be a doctor? How did you know you were supposed to help people find a way to heal their bodies, heal their minds or hearts, however you say it? I don't know what's the best way. But can you take us on that journey? Because we want to hear what you do and how you got here.
Okay, that's kind of a big question.
When you were young, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my life.
I know I'm supposed to do this my whole life, I guess.
Right.
I've been looking at things a certain way my whole life. I guess like a singer learns how to sing or has the ability to sing. There's just an adaptation. I'm adept at certain things, and I just look. It's just what makes my heart sing. When I started studying biochemistry, that's when I just came alive.
Nice. As a little boy, you always knew. You knew you were supposed to be a healer of some sort, correct? When you were really young. So, like you said, I knew I was supposed to do what I do. You knew too as well. So you found your passion, and this is it, correct? True.
Right. Right. Well? And there's an anointing there. It seems to work well. It's easy for me. I specialize with cases that are medical failures, if you were, and somebody asked me, medical failures, can you be more specific? What are you trying to say? I'm like, well, there are certain blind spots that today's healthcare practitioners tend to have if they have studied prescription drugs and surgeries. They tend to have certain blind spots. So that seems to be where I fill in the blanks. And we're going to talk about genetics today, and genetic testing has been a revolutionary next step that makes fixing these super unique cases that are, I mean, it makes them easy. It's a wonderful thing. That's a new tool in our tool bag, if you would.
I hear you, and I know that you've got a lot of tools that you use, and genetic testing is really what got me, because I was like, wow, that's a technology that we don't know a lot about. And I know, you know, we know about it for, you know, testing for parents, I guess, would be genetic testing or, you know, that kind of thing. But why are you using it? What is it about it, and what can we expect with it? And take us on that journey and share with us. And I'll ask questions, and I'll interrupt you. I apologize about that, but
I'm
excited about it. Okay,
so
go ahead.
As you know, a lot of money has been thrown into cancer research. And then the Genome Project about 8 years ago, the genome got mapped, and we're able to now have a different way of looking at things. So when some doctors look at that, they see that there's an increase of this gene found in people that have cancer, or this gene when people get sick. So a lot of money got thrown into those particular pathways. So now, today, we have all these pathways that we know about. As a nutritionist, somebody who looks at food as being the source for our body, it's a little different than somebody who looks at a prescription drug to be the source of a solution. So anyway, for example, there's something called a folate pathway. So there's a lot of research that has mapped out the folate pathway we have, and a couple other pathways that are very specific to phase one and phase two detoxification. So it started off by medical doctors, researchers, trying to find the common genetic link between cancers and sicknesses and different disease processes and the genome. And then come to find out that it's a lot of the money ends up showing up in these pathways that the body uses for phase one and phase two detoxification. So if you are exposed to a pesticide and I'm exposed to a pesticide, we have the ability to eliminate it, clear it out of our bodies, And there are biochemical pathways that do that. We're built to detoxify ourselves and to cleanse ourselves. Well, it seems as though some of us, myself included, and other people that come in the door with fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, or I just had one that they can't even come up with a diagnosis for. They're saying maybe it was a reaction to an antibiotic you had because she's just miserable and they can't find anything wrong with her. Well, now we're finding, well, she doesn't have the ability to make folate, 5-methyltetrahydrofolate, which is the end product of folate, which is necessary for the body to detoxify. So as a nutritionist, I can tell her to go down to the local health food store and buy 5-methyltetrahydrofolate, and that will basically, it's a workaround for her because she lacks the genes to make that pathway go from point A to point B. And that's okay. There's a supplement for that. Probably not a popular supplement. Who would know such an exotic or unique? Exotic is not a good word, but it's so specific. So now,
right.
For example, in my case, let's say to make B12 active, it's a four-step process, and my whole life I have not had the ability to make B12 active in my own body. There are highways and byways in our chemistries. I'm looking at some charts on my wall right now. These are the biochemical pathways in a human being. It looks like the map of the United States. So there are 4-lane highways, there are 2-lane highways, there are single roads, and there are little dirt paths that don't even make it onto the pathway chart. So that I must have a little dirt path somewhere making B12 into its active form. So when I started injecting methylated B12, which is the final end stage product of B12, my lights came on. I feel like I'm on testosterone. My brain came like awake for the first time in my life. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And we're finding that with a lot of people.
I have a question for you.
Okay,
that's great because I have a question for you. So, for instance, you're saying that you need a B12. Your client or your patient this morning needed something different. And these doctors have given up hope, or they're just going to continue to treat the symptom rather than find the cause. I'm hearing you say that. Genetic testing will help you find the cause, correct? Is that what you're saying?
Right. We're finding. We're looking at biochemical pathways. Another way of looking at it is looking how vitamin, minerals, and nutrients are processed in the body. You are made up of a bunch of food. I mean, whatever you weigh right now, that came from food. Your mass came from food, and how the food gets broken down and rebuilt in your body to make all of your chemistries. Your brain chemistries are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your all the things in the liver. I mean, that's you're worth looking at millions of dollars to have all these beautiful chemistries that we are supposed to make on our own. Yet some of our chemistries are broken. Some of our pathways are broken. And now we're able to find the gene behind every enzyme, the gene behind every receptor. I'll give you another example. I just had somebody else, again, doctors couldn't figure out what's wrong with him. He acupuncture seems to help. Chiropractic seems to help. He takes a bunch of supplements. You know, he's doing everything he can to fix himself. He's not getting any help from the medical profession, bless their hearts. And he comes in and we test him, and lo and behold, his vitamin D receptor is a mutated Frankenstein thing that is not very efficient, and he's going to have to have giant levels of vitamin D in his body just to get the receptor to function at a normal level so his lights will come on and he'll feel okay. If you test his blood levels of vitamin D, he's going to be within normal limits, but his receptor is just a broken, beaten thing. And he was born that way, born with receptors that are inefficient and don't receive so well.
I like that story. That's a good one. So you there's always something that they can do to make, and you know what to recommend to him to so that the vitamin D works. Because going out in the sun, vitamin D in the sun is not going to work. Taking a bunch of it, not till you fix the receptors, and you know that through the genetic testing. Let me ask you a question, all right? And this is something that someone, I told them what was going on because I took a questionnaire and certain things they wanted to know. You are able to see a problem, okay, like a receptor problem or a liver problem or something like that before a big illness happens, correct? Like, let's say cancer, heart disease, you know, or any of those kind of things. Can you see that in the genetic testing? Can you see what, you know, and I'm using ones that we know about, but maybe lupus or, as you said, fibromyalgia. Can you see what the problem is before the problem appears?
That's not exactly a fair question. Your question is not the most accurate way. So let me tell you the question I want to answer. Or let me answer that question to the best of my ability.
You do.
So
okay, cool.
What ends up happening practically is somebody will come into my door in their 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s. And
right.
All of a sudden they've got a problem that they can't fix.
Right.
And we do the genetic testing. We find, okay, your ability to clean up any garbage you've been exposed to has been significantly decreased. So your whole life you have not been able to clear out that perfume that you put on, whereas everybody else can. And it's too far-fetched
right.
to think that you can't handle perfume or any of these things. And now, lo and behold, you are diagnosed with a disease like MS or something, or you're not diagnosed with a disease. But right now we know that you're a mess and we can't figure out why it is. Well, and they're trying to figure out what drug to give you and what surgery to do on you. And we find out that you have not been able to eliminate the basest, most simplest of toxins from your body ever, your whole life. And it would be real simple, or real super simple fix. I'm sorry, in some of these cases, it's a super simple fix, like taking a methylator, something to increase the methylation process, taking folate in its end product, taking B12 in its end product. But we are finding some situations, for example, sulfite metabolism, sulfate metabolism. There are people we have found that just cannot metabolize sulfates properly, and we can't prop them up enough. So they have to go on a low sulfate diet. And whoever heard of such a thing, but there is cruciferous vegetables, wine, these are things that are high in sulfites. You take those people and put them on a low sulfate diet, their lights come on,
right.
their fibromyalgia goes away or gets 90% better because they're just overwhelmed with sulfites. And
wow,
there's a lot of things
that's amazing.
Like that.
So you can find those situations when you're doing the genetic testing. That's amazing. And let me ask you this: you figure that out, and you make it, and you put them on the right nutrients or the right foods or whatever I'm hearing. And then let me ask you this: is there when does somebody do genetic testing? Is there any age? Do you start it as a child? Do you know what I mean? What do you do? How do you start that? And I'm asking a really broad question, but that's a question that was posed to me.
It's a new thing. I have not tested my 9-year-old daughter yet, but I will, just to kind of see, get a heads up on what her diet's supposed to be like and what I might have to do to make sure she doesn't have any of these problems. So, yes, theoretically, we can use this to nip problems in the bud. And heck, this time next year, we'll know twice as many genes as we know now. And the more spotlights will go on to different parts of our chemistries, and it's going to become brighter and brighter and clearer and easier to fix these. People have been called hypochondriacs because the doctor can't find what's wrong
right.
with them. Well, that's
right.
going to go away. I'm sure there is, okay, I'm sure there are people who are hypochondriacs, but not as many as are being blamed by... Yeah, basically it's as simple as if the doctor can't find the problem, you're called a hypochondriac.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. So you're saying genetic testing, and I'm like, wow, we'll really, really go into that and figure out situations where, I mean, I'm hearing you say that the lights come on, we're more alert, we feel better and all that. Can you imagine if you find, you pass certain genes, you know, I know this, through parent to child and it goes on and on. But if you find out the situation before they have children, then they can start taking it and feel better. And maybe kids in school, teenagers or young adults, old adults, whatever, if they're having situations all their life where they feel a certain way and they start taking the right nutrients, a child, your daughter at 10, 11, 12, my daughter, she's a teenager, they can get better. and perform better and be better at school or anything. Is that what you're saying? I mean, and with a couple of just knowing that what their lacks are, or their challenges, sorry, their challenges are, maybe, correct?
Right, challenges. You know, which pathways are 100% efficient and they're not going to have problems with, and other ones that are easily overwhelmed.
Okay, gotcha.
Surprisingly overwhelmed, embarrassingly overwhelmed. You get a classroom of 30 kids, I don't know how many of those kids aren't going to be able to handle their environment. They're not all going to handle their environment the same over time.
Right. And yeah, so you're sitting there and you're an amazing doctor. I'm like super excited about this because I have a large group of people that work with kids, and so you're saying that we can, certain problems that we have now, genetic testing really takes effect, and people accept it as something that they need to do, should do, and not as a luxury, but something that needs to happen, then they can really change the health. We can change the health of our kids, our adults, our parents, all of that. Is that what you're saying with genetic testing? We have the ability to do that?
It's going to be the future. Everybody's going to get genetic testing, just like they get their blood test to see if they have this or that. It's going to be another tool in our tool bag to prevent problems and solve problems that couldn't be solved before. I mean, it's a beautiful avenue. I mean, there's just so many different things. You Google Alzheimer's disease and you read about the genetic components there, and we're putting two and two together, and a lot of it is how well they can clear out heavy metals, how many
That's amazing. That is amazing. You know, I read in Virginia, West Virginia, they did the coal miners up there. They had a lot of people diagnosed with Alzheimer's because they were around the coal mines that didn't, back in the day, they didn't have the stuff that they have now. And they were putting the link together that maybe that this Alzheimer's was happening because of that. And, that they were exposed too much to it or whatever. You would know more about that than I is what you do. That you've got Alzheimer's, how about stuff like muscular dystrophy, epilepsy, diabetes, all those kind of diseases. Is that something that genetic testing would help to know, to figure out? Can you share with us about that? Because that was a question that I got asked to ask you. So,
right.
Anyway.
So let's say somebody has a whole bunch of different diseases, whatever those diseases are that you just mentioned, if they get tested and we're finding out that they're not able to eliminate pesticides, they're not able to eliminate chemicals that didn't even exist back then, and quite frankly, there are chemicals that don't exist right now that our parents were exposed to and that were just fine. DDT, for example, our parents had vegetables sprayed with DDT,
right.
And that's not legal anymore. So what did that do to our genes? Who knows? But we're studying them and we're learning them, and a lot of them is the ability to remove DDT, the ability to remove a lot of these exotic chemicals that were just invented in the last 10 years or invented decades ago. Now, when they do, let's just say, Alzheimer's research or MS research, they're finding a whole bunch of genes that are found in that population, in that group. And we're still trying to figure out what those genes mean, which enzymes those genes run. And the more we know, the more we'll figure out how to work around it. But figuring out how to work around it through nutrition, through supplementation, not through making another drug that's just maybe there are drugs that would help, but it just seems like it's a different school of thought, a different way of looking at things,
Yeah, symptoms are being treated rather than the root cause, right? Maybe that feels
right.
Like you're
right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Right. We just tested somebody the other day, and their superoxide dismutase, which is their body's natural antioxidants, not functioning well. So we need to put them on superoxide dismutase and catalase, and that'll help them get around that particular roadblock in their chemistry.
And if they get around that roadblock,
some people don't have that problem. They've got different problems. So we got people taking antioxidants right now, and maybe it's not a bad thing, but it's not exactly what their problem is.
I gotcha. So when you find the root cause, okay, of something that their challenges, and you treat it, what does life look like after you treat it for them? Is it like a big aha moment? Are they feeling amazing? Do they feel better? Do they get better? Because as you said, you see things that others don't see, other medical professionals don't see. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? So when you put this girl or this young lady or woman on this particular, whatever it was, I can't even say it, start saying that three times, right? When you put her on those those supplements, what happened to her? What was her life like after that? Or what is her life going to be like after that? So is that okay if I ask you that?
Right. Well, it depends on what the problem is. My wife, for example, we'd taken her to the cardiologist. The cardiologist put her on beta blockers. Well, you're just stressed. You're emotional, you're stressed, whatever it is that they say to her, you know. And
right.
You just gotta have less stress in your life, you know, not work so hard for your husband, I guess, or the kids or whatever it is. When I did the genetic testing on her, lo and behold, her ability to turn off histamine, not very good at all. So when she eliminates histamine, it's moving through her body in an active state, and it is dilating her blood vessels on its way out. So my wife would have to just sit down or lie down, feel like she's passing out, and the beta blockers didn't fix that. And it's basically just because she can't turn off histamine. Histamine is a vasodilator. Histamine, we all know about antihistamines.
Sure.
But she just can't, she cannot methylate histamine, which is what is necessary to turn histamine off.
Okay.
And there's another process to turn off histamine that she also has a problem with. But so that is making her to where she can get up and walk around and take care of the kid and take care of the office and not feel like she's going to pass out. So that was
better.
A cardiac problem, but it was really a histamine problem.
That's amazing, doctor. I'm like super excited because I'm going to get a test done and we're going to come back if you're cool with that and talk about it so you can really understand
sure.
it. You know, okay, yeah, because we'd love to have you on as a guest because people they're like firing questions right at me. But so you have got something that an incredible technology and you feel like this is your calling. This is your passion. You've known it, forever, and you believe this is a technology that's going to eliminate a lot of problems that we have today. What do you see for this in the future? I know you said it's going to be a natural thing or something that is easy to do, or not easy to do, but we test blood, we do genetic testing. How to take us on that journey? What do you see for the future with it?
Okay, by the end of our lifetimes, we will still not know, we still won't know the entire genome or the genes behind every single biochemical event, every single receptor, every single enzyme, but we're going to know a lot of them, and the problems that we have today aren't going to be there. But more importantly, we're going to be able to link, right now a drug or a chemical, GMOs, whatever it is, for it to pass and be the public to be exposed to it, there are certain testing that it has to pass. Well, there's going to be
right.
a new level of testing. It's going to have to prove that it doesn't cause genetic problems like DDT and all these things. I mean, as a genetic person, I'm thinking that all the problems we're having now is because we were exposed to chemicals that were supposedly okay, but they damaged our genes in interesting ways that take a lifetime to play out. I mean, we know our statistics are we have higher cancer rates, higher MS rates, higher so many morbidity and mortality problems that we didn't have before in the last 30 years, 40, 50 years. There's a reason for that, and we're going to be able to find out which drugs are causing that, which chemistries are causing that.
Amazing. It's like to be a part of that and what you're doing is incredible, and I'm in awe of what you're discovering, what you're doing, and what you're creating. You and your wife are such an I know it's quite a team together. I know you're the doctor, she's runs the office and takes care of your child, But you guys are quite the team, and I know that you've got some really cool stuff to do with that, and you're giving me the tip of the iceberg. Okay, so I get that too as well. Now, another question I have, does it hurt, does the system, and I know the answer to some of these questions, but because you and I have chatted about it before, but does it hurt to get genetic testing done? So that's a,
no,
how's that done?
It's a saliva test. All you do is fill up about 5 milliliters in a test tube. So if you can salivate, you can do a genetic test. So that's why we can check children. We can check anybody. It's not, there's no needle involved. It's so simple and so easy. It's a little time-consuming on my part, but...
it works.
I mean, well, yeah, it's the patient's part is the easy part. I charge $500 for it, so I mean you're paying for my time.
Listen,
and we're testing over 100 different genes,
right? And 100 different genes, and go ahead, I want to hear that part too.
And as we learn more and more, I'm checking the research. So the good thing about the research departments of colleges and our country is that they're under this pressure to publish or perish. In order to keep their research money coming in and keep their positions, they have to publish papers or perish. So there are papers being published all the time, showing what this new gene, how we link this gene to this enzyme. For example, you could Google multiple sclerosis genes, and you're going to find on the front page that they're finding that the vitamin D3 receptor is disproportionately represented in the multiple sclerosis population. What does that mean? We still don't know, but it does. It's almost like they can check your vitamin D levels or vitamin D receptor and predict this person has a more likely chance of having multiple sclerosis, which is what I found on a patient with multiple sclerosis. So that she has MS. I ran through. I looked at all the genes. Not all the genes. There's a lot. But I looked at a lot of genes.
Right.
She had every single one of them. Vitamin D receptor, folate pathway, her ability to detoxify your standard chemicals that you and I are exposed to that you think are fine.
Right.
So we're going to clean her up. Do I expect her MS to go away? But no, but maybe. I don't know. This is new. Who knows?
Listen, that's incredible. I mean, that's what you call a miracle. Sign me up for that, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And wow, that gives me juice. So you're doing that, and I know that a lot of these genetic testing, because I researched it, and they're charging a lot more money than you are. And so $500. And how long does it take to get the test results back?
Yeah. There's if you Google out there, there's a company charging $1,700 to check 9 genes associated with the breast.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'll check off all 7 of those. It takes me 20 minutes. So, you know, I guess they're very proud of their time. I don't know.
You're so funny. I like a doctor with a sense of humor. Okay, so thank you guys. That's cool. So your genetic testing using the saliva, you do the testing, I guess, in your office or wherever. And how long does it take to come back or to get the results?
3 weeks. It takes three weeks to come back, and then we'll know about 100 different genes. And then as the days, months, and weeks go by, I keep looking for more and more genes that are published. And if they're relevant to the person, I'll pull out their genome again and look at it. So I'm developing a database, and I'm taking care of my people.
Ah, very nice, doctor. Okay, so listen, we're running out of time here, but we're going to bring you back if you would, and I'm going to get the test done. I'll do it in. I'm traveling in July, so maybe at the end of July. But I'll give you guys a call about that, or your wife, so she can schedule an appointment. But if people want to get in touch with you, because not only does he do the genetic testing, he fixed my shoulder, and I've been suffering for a long time with it. So thank you again. So he's a great chiropractor as well. But to get genetic testing done, how does someone get in touch with you and share with us now, please? If you don't mind.
Okay, so my phone number is 954-771-3685. 954-771-3685. Dr. Jeff Middleton, the Lord's Chiropractic.
Okay, and you guys, great office, great energy there. he and his wife will make you feel right at home. And I'm excited. So I'd like to have you back. I'll get my my test done, and then if you're cool with that, and then we can go over it so people can see, right? So anyway, thank you. Go ahead.
Are we out of time?
Share it. Yeah, no, we've
got there's a biological dentist up the street, Dr. Yolanda Centron, and she sends me a bunch of people because people are going into the biological dentistry or going to a biological dentist trying to find, you know, solve problems that, you know, these kinds of problems, these kinds of exotic things that, that your typical doctor can't fix. And she and I have developed a wonderful relationship here.
Oh, nice. You guys are changing. You guys are changing lives, person by person, city by city. It's amazing. That's a good deal. I'm glad to know you. Anyway, thank you, Dr. Middleton. You are a wonderful guest, and thank you for asking the questions. I know that some of it's like, wow, that's so basic, but you just remember, I'm just a little person that's trying to figure stuff out and have some great guests on. So you're changing people's lives, and I appreciate you to being here today once again. You guys listening in, you've got his number, you've got his office, the name of his office, and he will be on again in the next few weeks or so. So take care, Dr. Middleton, and thank you for being a guest again. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.